This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on the live feed, we feature the Minneapolis-based rock band Strange Lights. Our sound is like a dirty, disgusting alley with crackheads sleeping on mattresses with a little bit of mysticism added in, said guitarist and lead vocalist and Winona native Joe Werner. The band, which also includes Bill Rammer on bass and Kieran Holcomb on drums, played at Ed's No Name Bar in downtown Winona and found the new environment a breath of fresh air. You are listening to the live feed, and I'm here with Strange Lights.
My name is Kieran Holcomb, and I play drums.
I'm Bill Rammer, and I play bass.
My name is Sir Joey Diamonds of Albion, and I play guitar and sing.
I think we'll start with our musical histories. How did you get into music? What did you start playing? What kind of influence did you listen to?
Well, I got into music, you know, I grew up in the early 90s, and the first record that I really got into was probably Nevermind, like a lot of other kids my age, and that kind of stuff made me want to play guitar, like, you know, Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins. And I started playing guitar when I was 15. I grew up in Winona and played guitar since I was 15 and always looked for other kids to play music with, but there was maybe only two other kids that played music at my high school. And all I ever wanted to be was a musician in a band. And then I moved up to Minneapolis to go to Minneapolis College of Art and Design in 1997. Met Bill, who's the bass player, and we started jamming together. He played bass. I'd taken like a lot of formal lessons and, you know, played a lot of like jazz guitar maybe in high school, and I definitely wanted to be in a rock band. You know, all I've ever known is rock and roll, and I learned how to play Nevermind and, you know, Siamese Dream are probably my two albums that I learned how to play guitar the most with. But I also loved, you know, Hendrix and Zeppelin, that kind of thing. And then I met Bill, and he really got me into more of like, you know, English blues, like the Stones and Zeppelin, and we started jamming. And when we graduated college, we formed a band called Bridge Club, and that lasted from 2003 to 2006. Broke up, put out three records, and then I met this other band called First Communion After Party, which Kieran was a part of. He started jamming with us along with three other members of First Communion After Party, and the Strange Lights was born. And, you know, since 2007 is when Strange Lights originally formed, it's pared down to a three-piece now. We have an EP out, a four-song EP on vinyl, and we're going to be releasing a full-length album, hopefully sometime in, I'd say, early November is what we're shooting for.
What about you? Influences? How'd you get into it?
I just started playing with a friend of mine in high school, and he did surf rock stuff. And they wouldn't let me play guitar, so I had to play bass, and that's how I got stuck on the bass. And yeah, biggest influences, I guess, would be, yeah, Led Zeppelin, definitely, yeah. Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, and, you know, definitely, you know, listen to a lot of Nirvana. And I guess where I grew up in rural Wisconsin, so classic rock was more prevalent than modern radio rock, so.
What about you?
I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was a big hockey player, and a guy on my team got me into rock and roll and wanted to start jamming, and I'm actually a little younger than these guys, and my sister as a kid got me into Nirvana as well and kind of Seattle sound, and then turned me on to, you know, stuff like Zeppelin, and she really liked Deep Purple and stuff like the really 70s classic stuff. And I moved up here in 06 and right away joined up with First Communion After Party playing guitar, and then drummer quit, so I moved on to drums, and I've been happy ever since, just playing drums full time. And met these guys, and they turned me onto a lot of music. Really got into that psychedelic scene from the 60s and 70s, and in the last few years, there's been a lot of underground psychedelic in the United States, Black Angels, for example. And yeah, it just kind of was this great evolution. I think I did the count one day that I've been in like 22 bands, and I feel like I'm like, this is the band I've always wanted to be in.
So when officially did the band begin?
I'd say, what was that, 2007?
Yeah,
2007. In the early days of Strange Lights, it was kind of more of a shoegazy, maybe early 90s type thing, like My Bloody Valentine mixed with Oasis, mixed with BJM. Now I think it's more of a Zeppelin-y kind of Stooges thing. But I don't know. My brother, like, every time he hears one of my songs, he's just like, you can tell where you're kind of coming from, but it's not, doesn't sound exactly like one thing, you know. It's like, I think that you can't help but sound like what you listen to, you know. It's like, you're not going to make music out of thin air.
Play what you like to hear.
Yeah. If you make a copy of a copy of a copy, it's like a Xerox, you know. It degrades through your interpretation to become something new. I think that's what we try and do is, like, you know, maybe I'll come up with a riff or Bill start playing the bass line. We'll just take it from there. And I think that, that helps keep it, like, kind of something original. Not really planning it, just kind of going right into a song.
Where did the name Strange Lights come from?
We like aliens.
Yeah, Where did that come from?
I'm a huge fan of the paranormal and that kind of thing. And I think I was watching some kind of History Channel or Discovery Channel show about UFO abduction or something like that. And, you know, people are always talking about Strange Lights in the Sky. There's like two other bands with the name Strange Lights. There's some geezers in Colorado that have the name Strange Lights, and they've had it since 2000. They've asked us to change the name several times, but they've never sent us a formal cease and desist. And I think that we should have a vote, you know. We should have a battle of the Strange Lights. You know, and I know that we would win that. You know, if we ever get to the point where we actually have to worry about the legalities of changing our name, well, maybe, you know, just call ourselves Strange Lights Minnesota or Minneapolis or whatever. But
how does the music making process happen? Is there, you know, a central writer? I mean, is the music come first and then the lyrics?
Well, I mean, I write all the songs. Like, I write most of the songs, you know, that most of the songs will come from an idea that I have on guitar, that, you know, I come up with on guitar. But, you know, a lot of times we jam a lot in practice, and Bill will come up with a riff sometimes that, you know, we'll just kind of feed off of. I write all the lyrics and sing a lot, and that's probably, for me, the hardest thing. You know, it's the hardest part of the process. For the first part of a song, it usually comes from a riff of mine, and I try and, you know, I'm not really singing. I don't have any set lyrics. I'm just trying to, you know, see what vowel sounds will actually, you are able to sing, because there's only so many sounds in the English language, you know, that you can sing. There's certain words that just do not sound good singing. So, you know, you kind of have an idea, but that's usually the last thing that we do. But, you know, we definitely write in tangents, like, sometimes
we've been writing a lot.
Yeah, we've been writing a lot lately.
We took a break.
Yeah, we took a break this summer.
All of a sudden, like, that's spurred four or five new songs. Many of which we played tonight.
And I draw inspiration from a lot of different things. Like, I just saw the Runaways movie, which just blew my mind. And I really was never a fan. Like, I had a girlfriend who was really into Joan Jett, so I maybe had a little sour taste in my mouth, and she used to like to blare I Love Rock and Roll. But that movie just blew me away. And Kim Foley, I didn't know much about him before that movie, and that character in the movie just really inspired me. And he said that, like, you know, rock and roll is for the people in the dark and loners and, like, the people who have nothing else, you know, who cares? That's the side of rock and roll that I think will always exist and is still pure, you know, the rebellious side. Like, there are still kids out there who are alienated. And I think that rock and roll is going to make a comeback because, you know, rap and hip-hop, I don't think that kids who grow up in small towns, I don't think that they can really relate to that. They can pretend to, but I think that they can relate to rock and roll a lot easier.
So you guys are based out of Minneapolis now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what's the Minnesota music scene like?
Well, I mean, the music scene in Minneapolis is, there's a lot of great bands, but the things that are really popular in Minneapolis to me are pretty disappointing. Like, you know, it's a lot of electronic beats and people with laptops on stage, and, you know, I don't really want to pay money to go see somebody check their email on stage. You know, it's just, I think it's really devoid of any kind of human emotion. And it seems like people in Minneapolis are really afraid of guitar music. You know, if you play a guitar loud, like, that's kind of looked down upon. I don't know if people think it's passe, but they're just, overall, they're not into it.
Well, I feel like there was some sort of decent community, and now, I don't know if it's competition or what, but, and just the style of what's going on.
Just one of those times.
Yeah.
Do you think it comes in waves then? Maybe in a couple years it'll be totally different?
Yeah. I feel it was way different 5 years ago than it is now. Even the people coming to the shows.
Yeah.
Especially the people coming to the shows. The whole culture of going to a show has changed.
Yeah.
How
the past
so?
5 years. This, like, where you want to play in the lineup.
Yeah, in Minneapolis, yeah. Things go through cycles. Like, what is, like, considered the best new hot club to play is
and how late people even stay out. It's,
yep.
It's weird. People used to stay out until the break of dawn, and now they want to go home by midnight.
Yep. There's this thing now where it used to be, like, tonight is an ideal situation because there's still only three bands in the bill, and there's this new thing now, at least in Minneapolis, where there's, like, five, six bands on a bill.
Yeah.
And that's just ridiculous.
It wears people out too much.
You know, the first two bands and the last band are just, you know, it's pointless for them to even play because nobody's going to be there at 8:30 to see a band play. I don't know. I feel, I don't want to, like, get complaining. Minneapolis is a great place to play.
It is a great place to play music.
And there's ups and downs of every music community.
It's just different, though.
It is different.
Maybe it'll go back to what it was. Things change.
Of course. So what's it like coming back to Winona for you, and what's it like playing in Winona?
You know what? Tonight, this show, like, people at Ed's Bar were fantastic. Like, I'd say that, like, playing Winona really gives us a lot of hope because the reaction we got from the audience tonight was way better than the reaction we've gotten from the last 20, 30, 50, you know, any Strange Light show, really. Like, I'd consider this one of the best Strange Light shows ever. The way people were reacting in the audience tonight, like, people were having a great time. They weren't afraid to, you know, dance and have a good time, move around, and there's a lot of like too cool for school in Minneapolis sometimes. Yeah. Like, you know, I haven't any big city, but I'd say that playing Winona, we played it before with Bridge Club, and we played it, you know, when it was state, and it was a weird situation.
Rascals.
And we played Rascals.
That was fun.
That was fun, but it wasn't like this.
No, this was
like,
great.
Tonight was awesome. Like, we had a blast. Yeah.
Seeing people dance
it was refreshing.
It's
this
really
was
refreshing.
People got
instead
into
of
it.
Everyone just standing with their arms crossed.
You just got,
like,
got lost,
like,
in it and had fun.
And I know Ed. Like, I grew up with Ed. Like, I knew him when I was, like, 16 years old. And he was, like, the older, cool guy, you know. It's like, he had, like, super long hair, and he looked like Eddie Vedder, and everyone thought he was awesome, you know. He was the coolest guy in town. And now he's got a really great bar. I mean, this is better than, like, if this was in Minneapolis, like, this would be the coolest venue in town, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, Winona's full of interesting characters, so.
Yeah,
and they like to go to Ed's.
You know, I grew up here, and
They're river people.
Yeah, the river people. I don't know, like, Winona is a mystical place. It is. It's like, this was, like, considered very sacred ground for, like, a lot of Native Americans who lived here before, you know, our ancestors, like, ever thought of coming here. And I think there's just a really great feel in the city, like, and I hope that Ed's Bar, you know, continues to have bands playing, and maybe there'll be another venue, like, that'll open up, you know, across the street or downtown, that maybe Winona can actually become like a destination.
What do you want your audience to take away from your performances?
Rock and roll's about just letting everything go and freedom, liberty, just having a great time and enjoying the connection between you and the band. That's all I ever want, is people to just be like, that was awesome. That blew my mind.
Truthfully, I want people to be a little scared.
Yeah.
I want to, like, create a kind of eerie feeling, like you're in a graveyard or, like, an abandoned building. Like, definitely, if I would have stayed in Winona, like, after I graduated high school, I wouldn't be writing the kind of music that I am now, because our sound is, like, I want it to feel like a dirty, disgusting alley with crackheads, like, sleeping on mattresses, and a little bit of mysticism added to that, like a kind of big city mythology in a way.
What kind of things are you working on now? I mean, I saw on iTunes you had an EP.
We have an EP that came out a while ago, and that was, you know, I mean, I'm really proud of that EP, but it was with the old lineup, so it's a much different sound. We have a full-length album that's already mixed and is waiting to be mastered and have some final touches put on it. In the future, I'd like to make a lot of albums just on our own and make it sound really, really raw. Like, I love working in a really expensive studio, but there's something about home recording and, you know, lo-fi recording that just, it sounds so much more real. We've done some recordings ourselves. Me and Bill have, and Kieran has done some, you know, just some stuff on GarageBand, and those recordings, to me, sound way more, truthful and just, like, inspiring to me than anything we've done in any expensive studio. So we're gonna try to put out as much stuff as we can in the next year.
Maybe it's, like, more authentic.
It's way more authentic.
And you can have your hand in it.
Yeah. I mean,
it, like, sounds like we sound.
Right.
Yeah. Which sometimes when you go to a studio and you record everything and somebody else mixes it, it doesn't sound like how you sound.
We don't want to sound clean at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's an accurate recording of a band. at a, you know, a certain time in its career.
That's how it makes it sound like we're ghosts.
Yeah.
I want to sound like a ghost.
So, I mean, say the next record you put out, would you lean more towards doing it yourself then?
Yeah, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to have maybe some of our friends who have some better recording equipment than we have help us out. But it's definitely going to be more in vein of Iggy Pop and the Stooges
Exile.
than Exile Main Street, rather than like Oasis standing on the shoulders of giants or The Verve.
How do you measure your success? When are you successful?
I think we have a long way to go. I mean, but I don't know.
So you feel a minor amount of success from the show tonight. It feels like fun. We came down to a new town, and everybody seemed to have a great time.
I would say that the textbook version of being a successful musician means that that is your career. You don't have to work anywhere else. You know, that you rely on playing music for your income, and that's definitely not the case yet, but... You know, that's really all I know. So if I don't make a lot of money from playing music, I don't know what the hell else I'll do. So I'm going to keep on doing it until I die. I don't care if I'm successful or not. You know, just as long as people are still, as long as like more than five people want to like hear my records come out. And I think that there's enough obsessed people with my music for some reason. There's like at least five people that are obsessed with Strange Lights right now, wouldn't you say?
At the very least, there's
at the very least. Yeah. At the very least, if there's five people that are obsessed with us putting out records, I'll still do it. Not including my mom and grandma.
I'm not afraid to die.
Thanks again to the members of Strange Lights, and we hope you can visit our lovely little Winona again soon and shake us up a bit. Tune in next Wednesday or Friday evening at 6:30 for more local music right here on The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.